Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, the host of the Common Sense Show, and that's what you're listening to. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's hope you didn't land here by chance, but if you did, let's hope we can make it worth your while. And if to everybody, if we make it worth your while, hey, I got to tell you, I was in a public place the other day, and I'm not going to be more specific, but my wife and I are not arrogant people. We're very simple people. We live below our means. We're humble, and I'm not bragging, but this is just who we are. And we're in there, and she looks at me and said something I never heard her say. There are so many damn dumb people today. And then that night we went home and we flipped around channels, and I was checking in on the baseball scores, not watching them, just checking in. And we landed on Fox, and Jesse Waters had a piece. And he went on the street to ask people about Kamala Harris. Oh, she's wonderful, doing a great job as the governor of New York. Oh, she's a terrific mayor of New York City. I'm thinking, didn't we just see this, honey? Didn't we just talk about this? Folks, we're losing this battle against satanic evil because we don't have our numbers engaged. If we could engage the public as a whole against what's going on, we would crush these people. Crush them. Ignorance and apathy are our two worst enemies. But look at this. We had a lady on a subway raped in front of a crowd of people that were at arm's length. I wonder if they were taking pictures. And not one person moved to help her. Now, you know, maybe this guy would have kicked my butt if I'd have confronted him. But I bet I could have found a blunt object like a fire extinguisher and cracked his skull open while this was going on. It's rape. It's rape. And no one did anything. No one. We need to encourage people not just to know, but to act. But to act. I'm at a loss. Our guest is John Wayne. And there are some people that are caring about what's going on. Isn't that right, John?
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of people, Dave, you know. Well, I'll tell you, if I was there, I wear cowboy boots. He would have got the point of that cowboy boot pretty hard somewhere, well, probably where he wouldn't have wanted it.
I'm an old, decrepit man, but I do swim a half mile a day. I do Muay Thai workouts, and I could beat the hell out of any punching bag if I met it in the alley. And I do lift weights, and I'm not claiming any great claim to fame anymore. I used to be a pretty good athlete, but, you know, age has taken over. But I will tell you this. I could have done some serious damage to that guy since he was in a prone position. Very serious damage. And I wouldn't have hesitated.
I would have went and ran for the field goal kick of the Super Bowl is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The dome.
Yeah, I used to be a straight-toed place kicker. That kind of places me in a different generation. That's true. I was a straight-on kicker. But I would have planted my toe. Yeah, exactly. I got to tell you, I cannot believe that people would let this go on. I really wouldn't have.
You know, I can't either, and it just goes to show that the destruction of civil society is at a breakneck. It's at a breakneck pace.
Oh, it is, and John. It is so bad.
This guy was illegal too. Come to find out, that's the news now. I guess.
Oh, and he'd already been convicted of sexual assault, and they didn't deport him.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah,
it's unreal. I mean, this country, people better get it together, because if we don't get it together, we're not going to have a country within the next 2 years.
Next week.
Yeah, I mean, being very conservative.
6 months ago was, I mean, really, the election is where we lost control. We had basically martial law installed after Trump lost the election. And I look at the Trump presidency. Ted Brewer and I talked about this on a show recently. And it's our feeling that Trump's came into office with sincere intentions. And we pointed to some of those things, like doing away with the TPP and so forth, bringing manufacturing home. He did a good job in some areas, but it's clear he got compromised somewhere along the line. Very clear.
Absolutely.
And I don't know who's going to step up, but I will tell you this, John. I know everyone's venting against Democrats. I'm venting against all of them. The Republicans are meeting in the White House with Biden to negotiate the passage of this reconciliation bill. that contains $100 million to fight for amnesty for illegal aliens.
You know,
$100 billion, I meant $100 billion, excuse me.
Right. And you know, it's so, I don't want to cuss, but it's so damn ridiculous because I saw a video the other night of a bunch of homeless veterans packed up in tents. And every single tent had an American flag on it. And I even saw a few that were turned upside down. Hmm. We can't take care of our own population. We can't take care of our own citizenry. But by God, we'll let everybody flood in here and we'll give them all the money that they need.
Incredible. I've got to reach for a list here. 1 second here. I never do this live air, but I got to read to you a couple things.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
You just said the magic words, my friend. I wrote an article about this today, too. $100 billion for amnesty, free college for these people. No one paid for my... Well, actually, I had my undergrad paid for. I had a scholarship, but... graduate studies, you know, advanced degrees. I have two advanced degrees. No one paid for that. And free tax credits, free welfare. No one paid for me. no one's paying for my son. He's got an academic scholarship, but that doesn't pay for everything. And if he goes on to law school, then, you know, who's going to pay for that? Well, you're talking to the guy.
Right.
So, but illegals, they get this for free.
If it isn't enough, I mean, what was it? I think it was it $8 million or $800,000? I can't remember the exact figure, but it was a lot of money to put these people up in hotels. This is usurpation. If it is not the definition, I mean, by goodness, it'll work until, you know, a better definition gets here, right?
Yeah, I did a report last night, National Council of Family Relations, and they said having a two-parent family was racist. It was epitome of white supremacy. You know, it's kind of funny. I coached a young man, and his dad and I have been friends for over 2 decades. We met because of his son, but we stayed friends because of us. And, he's black. And he and his wife have been married forever and a day, just like we have been, my wife and I. And they raised two marvelous kids, college graduates, very successful in what they do. One was a professional athlete and now working in the ministry. And the other is a computer genius. And I look at this and I'm going, well, they had two kids. How would you call a black lady and a black man white supremacists?
Right.
Can someone explain the logic of that to me, please?
It completely destroys their narrative. You know, there is no logic to it. It's complete inversion for which everything else they're doing. You know, and I mean, it's imperative. Honestly, it's very imperative that a child or sets of children within a family have both parents. Because those that don't, I mean, they usually turn out not to be the best people in society.
Or their moms or dads who are the single parents have to do yeoman's work.
That's right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's the hardest job in America. I never denigrate a single parent. They do the best they can do. But are the kids, I think, do they have an easier time of it when they have both parents? Well, unless one of the parents is terribly dysfunctional, yes. I want you to hear this one, too. $250 million for bailout for health insurance. Can someone explain to me how they lost money with what they charge?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just more of these Ponzi schemes, more of these, tuck the money away over here. You know, let's get our hands on it while we can so we can put it offshore. You know, these Pandora papers. I mean, all this stuff's tied together. It's amazing everything that's going on to this point. You know, I mean, you would imagine these people pretty much own the world. And by God, they just can't get enough. They just can't get enough.
Well, it's about power, too. If you look at the mandates now, I mean, I was in high school. I had this discussion with a high school science teacher the other day. And she's been a good friend of mine for years and years. And I said to her, I said, did I miss something when I was a freshman in biology and I learned about natural immunity? When you've had something, you have antibodies built up. Did I miss that? Was my teacher that wrong? And she goes, no. Our society is that wrong today. We're walking away from the science. You can't even talk about that on YouTube and you get your channel taken away. You can't mention natural immunity.
Right.
It's absolutely amazing, the suppression and then these restrictions. Okay, so if you have your vaccination, John, and I don't have mine, if it protects you, why do you have to worry about whether I have mine?
That's a good question. I mean, that, you know, the logic isn't there. I mean, they've twisted everything, you know, and then on top of it, they say, trust the science. Okay.
What science would that be?
Right. Exactly.
The science, according to Fauci, that flip flops every other day.
Well, I think it's based on eugenics, honestly, personally, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, I got you. I know it's a depopulation scheme. How he's not in jail for being a modern day Dr. Mengele, I don't know. Rand Paul fully exposed him on the House of the Senate with evidence, and yet he's still in his position.
Yep.
Oh, I got one for you. You like conflicts of interest, I know. Merrick Garland. He has a daughter, and his daughter is married to a guy who's the principal of Panorama Education, and his company is responsible for pushing critical race theory and social emotional learning. And they've made tens of millions of dollars personally on this. Okay, so this is Garland's daughter. So what are people protesting at the Loudoun County School Board and other school boards? Critical race theory. They don't want their kids to grow up to be Marxist and racist and hate America and hate people because they're not the same color as they are. And as we find out, Garland has a huge conflict of interest. I looked up the DOJ ethics. It says you must recuse yourself if you derive direct benefit, or friends or members of your family derive direct benefit. He's breaking the law right now, today, declaring these people going to school boards to be domestic terrorists. He's protecting the turf of his daughter and son-in-law. I'm sure he's getting a kickback. I mean, this is my feeling. And they're funneling it through his daughter and son-in-law, which is what they did with Kemp and Rathsberger when the Chinese bribed them to throw the election in Georgia. And that's been pretty well established. It's the same pattern.
Right.
But can you believe this? Can you believe that Garland is getting away with this?
No. I mean, anybody that's, doing this needs to be held to some form of an account, whatever that may be. You know, and Dave, they've had it. People have had it. There are, to the brim. You know, we're talking overflowing, I think.
Tell us what you came across that shows how people have had it.
So, speaking of ilk, two different people, Pelosi and Gates, two separate incidents. Nancy Pelosi was somewhere here within our country, and she was accosted and basically chased off the streets, being yelled at, "You effing communists, get off our streets, get out of here. We don't want you here." That's that situation. Absolutely, you know, like I said, people are going to get to that point, and they're getting there. And the second incident, which took place either a day or two ago, showed Bill Gates in a private car. It's not a full-on limousine, but, a bigger car with some darked-out windows in the back seat, sitting and waiting to go into this building somewhere in London, like open, big steel gates, and they're guarded. And there's police out there, and they've got the crowds kind of held back to a point. But people were letting him have it, a good earful. And they weren't praising him on his, pleasantries, if you know what I mean. It was pretty vulgar. You know, people have had it. And it makes me think of other times in history where this has happened. I mean, folks, you need to understand, this exact same kind of stuff's happened before. 1943, Benito Mussolini, his wife, and some of his entourage. George Bush Sr. said at one point in time during his existence in this realm that if the American people knew what we had done to them, we wouldn't be able to walk down the street. And it's becoming to be that right now, Dave.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm not advocating for violence, because I don't. In fact, when violence comes, it'll come from the other side. I'm just going to say this. I want Mitch McConnell to be fearful when he leaves his home. I want all of these Republicans, Liz Cheney, all of them, to be fearful when they leave their homes. I want them to live in absolute terror. Now, why would I do that? That's mean-spirited. Because they have wrecked my country. These Republicans are whores. They're prostituted streetwalkers that have sold out the country for their own benefit. They're going to pass this reconciliation bill and all that's in it. We should probably go through a few more things that's in it. But they have sold us down the river. They don't care about you. They don't care about America. They only care about what's in the immediate for them. And I'm more mad at the Republicans than I am the Democrats. And hear me, people, hear me. If we have an election in 2022, and we're going to get into that as well, too. If the election can be impacted by the people, and that's a big if. I'm telling you right now, don't vote for one incumbent in the primary. You must vote for their opponent in the primary. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a Democrat, and you know what that means. So defeat the rhinos in the primaries with new blood. And I'm not even saying that'll work. Because the system's corrupt, and when they get in the system, they get corrupt. You may not be a criminal when you go to prison. You're wrongly convicted, but when you're there for a couple months, you're going to be a criminal. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens to these Republicans. But ladies and gentlemen, let's give ourselves a fighting chance. No person in Congress today, in the House of Representatives, they're all up for election in 2022. A third of the Senate is up in 2022. Return nobody to office. Nobody. They have all screwed you. They've screwed our country. I mean, look at the mandates. How are the Republicans right now not having impeachment hearings? I'm not saying they could even do it with a minority, but why aren't they having impeachment hearings? Because Biden is protecting the White House staff, Congress, the post office from having to get the vaccine, and he's reducing military size with many key personnel by as much as 40%. Our national security is impacted, and now we'll be the victims of China. And I think it's deliberate, and Biden's a traitor.
That dead on. I mean, you literally just drove a nine-penny nail with one swing, Dave. That's the fact. You know, and even coming up to the 2022 midterm election, I mean, by God, how far can you trust it? I mean, look at Dominion. Dominion still is in the voting system. I mean, come on. Well, this is ridiculous.
In Yavapai County, I talked to Mona Patton. She's an activist up there. And they have a county clerk and recorder. Her last name is Hoffman, Herr Hoffman. And she has declared that Dominion's returning for 2022. And other than that, all you can do is mail in ballots. And this is, Yavapai County is the most conservative county I know of. I think for the whole country. Definitely for Arizona. In the 90s, it was the home of the militia movement. They've become more sophisticated now, but the attitude is still there. The people take no crap, but their politicians are compromised. And see, this is what George Soros and the Chinese have done. They have gone in and they have compromised and bribed and given golden parachutes to people in key positions that subvert the whole system.
Absolutely, without a doubt. You know, I was on a long, lengthy broadcast last evening with a bunch of friends from over in the Australia, might as well, you know, to a certain degree.
Oh, I wish I could have been on that. I bet that was fun.
Yeah, it was, you know, and I'll tell you, them folks over there, it's kind of, you know, they're looking at us over here saying, hey, you know, what's happening to you guys over there? Because the Chinese are on our doorstep over here. And, you know, who's going to come help us? Who's going to rescue us in our time of need? And I said, well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't foresee the United States being able to do such a thing because we are totally internally embroiled here in our own country. I mean, for the love of everything, they're having the National Guard drive the trucks across the country purportedly and even beginning to fill some of the staff for hospitals, you know. So they're sequestering every country to an nth degree. You know, and Dave, another thing that's really interesting, and they even mentioned it last night, all my partners there from the great country of Australia, there has been no word that's gotten out of New Zealand in about 2.5 weeks. nobody has heard anything.
I know. I haven't even gotten emails from people there that I know. I agree with that.
You know, they were concerned. I mean, as I am, you know, and they're right there next door to them over there where they're at, you know, a hop and skip across a little puddle of water, and they haven't heard anything. So whatever's going on in New Zealand, I mean, your guess is as good as mine, but it can't be good.
They may have done an internet shutdown. I know a pastor there real well, and he sends me good stuff, has for years, and he's been real quiet, and I can't reach him. I can't reach this lady that I contact with a lot. Australia, I'm still getting some things, especially from New South Wales, where they're just brutalizing the population.
Yes.
So where were these people from that you were on the air with?
Sydney, Victoria.
Victoria's terrible.
Let's see here. I think I want to say around Perth. I mean, I'm not exactly
Perth is where they put a COVID isolation camp. It's small towns outside of Perth, I should say.
I was talking to this lady, and I'll try to be quick about this story. She went to a gas station to get fuel. Just to get fuel, they want you to scan the QR code on your phone.
Yeah, I know that.
She filled up with $80 worth of fuel, went in to pay it. She doesn't have a phone. She's not acquiescing to this tyrannical system. And she's an older lady. And she says, you know, okay, here's my $80. But she said she had $250. So she goes, here's $100. And they said, no, you have to scan the QR code. No, I don't know. I'm not going to. I can't. You know, well, here's this device. You need to scan it. I can't. She said it was just the weirdest thing. So they wouldn't take her money. They chased her out of the store after she threw the money on the counter and said, here, have it. Because what they were going to do is they were going to have her leave, not pay for it. They were trying to literally set her up, Dave, to be arrested. So they went out front, and the store clerk chased her out of the store and was trying to shove, I guess, the money of the car, like in the hood or in the grill of the car. I mean, completely just irate. And she, you know, finally got out of there. But I mean, it's the world's turning into a form of something I've never seen before. Just like you were saying, the mentality of the species, there's something happening.
How can you do a QR code if you don't have a cell phone?
Exactly. You can.
So didn't she say, hey, I don't have a cell phone, so how could I be in compliance? Can I just buy my gas?
Exactly. Absolutely. She tried everything, and they weren't having anything at all. You know, you got to have your gas, get your QR code.
Sometimes I got to go buy a cell phone before I can get my gas, but I'll run out of gas going to get the cell phone, so what do I do?
I don't know. You'll probably be picked up by the Gestapo on the way and thrown into one of the prison camps, I would imagine.
Wow. See, I wish I could get people to give me numbers of organizations like that. That'd make a good radio show. You call up all these buttholes that act this way, and you get them on the line and start asking them questions, and then you turn that into a show. You just play one after the other.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, look what Project Veritas and Kenneth O'Keefe has been up to, and the stuff that he's revealed to the public and the masses.
Oh, yeah, he does a great job. But I'm talking about not about the hidden camera thing. That's really good. I mean, just call him and just say, hey,
right.
You know, I don't have a cell phone, but I need gas. What do I do? Can I come to your store? Okay, can I use your cell phone to scan? This is the kind of things I start asking.
Right,
absolutely. And I'm just going to say, does being an asshole run in your family, or is it just you?
Right.
Sorry about the language, folks, but this is what we're dealing with.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I think to a point, Dave, I think what a lot of it is the people that have had this thing, they're already being mind manipulated to a degree. And I was saying 7 months ago, how long is it going to be before airplanes start falling out of the sky? Well, by goodness, over the past week, it's about an airplane falls out of the sky about every day.
Be quiet.
No.
I'm flying. I got to go to Paul Martin's funeral.
Oh, my goodness, yes, that's right.
I'm going to Paul Martin's funeral, and you have me falling out of skies. Don't do that to me.
No. I don't want that. No.
If I end up missing, just look on Gilligan's Island. Okay? I'm just going for a three-day tour, you know?
All right. Well, I mean, I just, you know, I mention this because it's important because of what they've done with people, you know, to this degree. And, you know, not only the mind control of the masses and people not being average human beings anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And these major incidents taking place, you know, it's there's a lot of stuff to all this that's going on. And I think a lot of it is spiritual, but not only spiritual, but the program, the technology that they're rolling out, they're testing right now in the human populace. This is all connected to the greater plan for their total reset of society, you know. And just by God, I don't know what else to say, Dave. Just, we can't have this. People need to stand up in arm. Universal noncompliance, arm in arm, push back against the oppressors. Libre de oppress. All right.
Yeah,
right,
but the problem is are you going to be able to mount enough of a resistance where you can make a difference and not be crushed?
Well, that's the thing, you know, and it's interesting to see where people, you know, fall upon the lines. You know, I was saying, yeah, there needs to be a common ground.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though? I'm saying that if you don't have sufficient strength, this administration has shown they'll crush you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
I got to dispel a rumor, okay?
Go for it.
Ted Brewer told me about this, and I got to say this. I know Dave Dobenmeyer. I've interviewed him a few times on my show. He's a coach, former coach like me. Good guy. Really good guy. Mm-hmm. He and Sherry Tempenny, Dr. Tempenny, they both have an organization, and I interviewed Dave about it a few weeks ago on my radio show, and they're raising money that they're giving to people to fight for their rights in court against, you know, jab or be fired. And they've raised a lot of money. I think Dave said on the air they raised, at that time, $400,000. Okay, well, that might get you two cases. And I'm thinking, that's a hell of a dent. I mean, it could set a precedent for future cases, too. So they're doing wonderful work. And they both, coincidentally, at the same time, have come down with COVID. But here's what's interesting. You know, the Russ Dizdar passed, and very sad about that.
Right.
And his wife is in real bad condition as well, too. Shelley's in bad shape. And there's a rumor floating out there that Dr. Tempenny was treating Russ, and she was the cause of his death. That is not true.
Oh, that's
is
bullshit.
Not true.
Excuse the language.
Well, no. Yeah, you're right. It is BS. Ted Brewer and I discussed this at some length. Okay, Ted knows Sherry pretty well, and I know Dave. Listen, people, when you hear this kind of stuff, it's disinformation from the left. It is not true. Not true. Yeah. They're mad because Dave and Sherry are raising funds to stand up to this tyranny.
Well, as anybody should. You know, I mean, what they're doing to kill people? Oh, well, they get $35,000 for doing it. They pump you full of remdesivir. After they sedate you, they sedate you first to make sure you can't fight or do anything to defend yourself. Then they pump you full of remdesivir, and then they put you on a ventilator that expands your lungs to where you just fill full of fluid and die.
Oh, I mean, it's that's so interesting you'd say this. Our nighttime discussion last night before we fell asleep, talking to my wife about this, and I told her about Russ. And I said, you know, I'll tell you something, I'll take my chances not being on a ventilator. She goes, what do you mean? I said, you have medical power of attorney. No ventilator. I don't care if it results in my death. I don't care if they say against medical advice, take him out of the hospital. No remdesivir. None. Zero. I said, they do this for a couple of days. Your lungs forget how to breathe. The brain forgets. And then you start to atrophy and you die. And this is how death occurs with these things. And so we have everything in a trust, you know, for legal reasons. And so we're going to go next week after we come back from Paul Martin's funeral. We're going to go and see an attorney, and we're going to modify our agreement, our trust agreement with regard to medical. First of all, I'm telling everyone, if you have a do not resuscitate, which I have, do not leave that in place. Because I interviewed Alex Schadenberg, and Alex writes all this stuff about euthanasia, and he's really, really good at what he does. Very factual, very professional. And people are being murdered over this. And some of it's state-sponsored murder. For example, you can do euthanasia in Washington State now if the person's mentally ill. So if they're a ward of the state, Okay, they can't take care of themselves. Let's say they have bad schizophrenia. The state can literally murder them. And Alex and I had this discussion on air. He was a guest on my show. And I'm telling you, folks, take the do not resuscitate out of any medical power of attorney and give the power of attorney to someone you absolutely trust and give them instructions.
Absolutely. You know, Dave, I want to share something here. I had an appointment yesterday with my doctor just to check up, make sure everything's on the up and up and my health is good, which it is, they say. But I got these extremely Orwellian messages as I was sitting there waiting to have my blood drawn. Then I had to wait a little bit and then go back for my appointment after they'd gotten the results from the tests. But I got these text messages, okay? A nurse will be with you shortly. Okay, nothing too nefarious, but it is a little bit overbearing within, you know, getting text messages while you're sitting in the hospital, right? It says, we appreciate your patience. Your provider will be with you shortly. That was right before the actual appointment. And then after the appointment, are you sitting down? I hope you're sitting down, and I hope you're bracing yourself. It says, thank you for visiting our facility. Please keep watch for a survey to track how we are doing. We value your feedback! Exclamation point. Facility.
That's bizarre.
Track.
That's bizarre.
It's damn bizarre. So 3 days before I had this appointment, just since we kind of stumbled upon this area of what we're talking about, how they're doing this to people, I have a lot of dream visions. Some of them come true. Some of them don't. You know. And I kept thinking of this dream vision I'd had, and I don't even really remember having it. For whatever reason, it popped in my head as some. It's kind of like, hey, man, be aware of this. So the dream vision was basically a man dressed as a doctor had a needle, and he was coming at me, and I was in a hospital bed.
Oh, so, this has a bad ending.
So my doctor was going to refer me to a specialist for my kidney disease. And she said the name, and I was like, okay, I don't know the guy. So when I got home, I sat here and I looked him up. You want to know that that was the guy in my dreams?
No. Oh, I hate when that stuff happens.
But, you know.
I hate when that happens. That is bizarre. You know what this story reminds me of? I was friends with the late Josh Coy, young guy, about 32, 33. And I kept telling him, I said, I mean, you're the future. I said, what do you mean? I said, hey, Hagman, Quayle, and I, we ain't going to be around forever. You're the future, and you're good. He was really, really good. And I didn't miss an opportunity to promote him. And everyone who heard him said, Dave, he's really good. Well, he started developing a kidney disorder. And he was in, I think it was the, he was in the Birmingham, Alabama area. And he went in the hospital a couple times. And I mean, he tried to call his dad, couldn't get him, so he calls me. And says, what's Dave? You're not going to believe what they're doing. And they were doing all kinds of bizarre stuff to him medically. They were putting tubes in him, wouldn't tell him what they were for. And I said, well, don't let them do it. They're not going to tell you what they're doing. And you don't see a work order. I said, don't do it. And he said, they made fun of my show. He goes, how do they know I have a show? And I said, that's a really good question, Josh. And I said, how's your health right now? He said, I'm okay. I said, could you get out of there and take a taxi and go home? And he said, yeah, I'm well enough to do that. And he did that. And unfortunately, before he left, he was able to get a hold of his dad, so his dad came and picked him up. But I've heard this story before. And he was telling me stories from hell about the treatment he was getting in the hospital. But it all came back to his talk show. He was on, he was a late night host on the largest FM station in a four-state area. And he was wildly popular. He does what we do, but he was a stand-up comedian. This guy was hilarious, but good. Right. And they just brutalized him when he's in the hospital. So he goes into the hospital again. Doctor says, oh, come on. Josh, you're probably hallucinating. You were on some pretty strong painkillers when you first came in, blah, blah, blah. It's your imagination. The same kind of crap kept happening. And he described a doctor, sounds like he was out of the Nazi death camps. And he's calling me while he's in the hospital telling me this stuff. And I just said, well, maybe he's Klaus Schwab. But I've heard this story before. It's
you know, and
yeah.
it's really something to behold. You know, and even to come to find out, now they're literally turning people away from getting a transplant unless you take this.
Yeah, thing I saw that. Yeah, I saw an interview with that. Oh my gosh. I mean, here's what they're saying. You take the vaccine or you die.
Yep, basically, yeah. They're literally giving you the death sentence for not taking this thing. That's what it boils down to.
They're not even hiding the agenda. This has nothing to do with COVID anymore. When you do that, there's nothing to do with the illness.
No, absolutely not at all whatsoever. You're absolutely right.
I watched this guy last night, and I can't remember his name. Travis Tritt, I think, country western singer.
Travis Tritt?
Yeah, that's it. He refuses to play any venue where they require masks or proof of vaccination or a test before you come in.
Good.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. And then he went off. He was being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, and someone had actually sent me the interview. And I'm watching this, and I'm thinking, my gosh, this guy was saying, this is tyranny. This has nothing to do with an illness. This isn't scientific. This is about dictatorship and control. And this guy's risking his career saying these things.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have enough of these people.
No, we don't.
He's a guy that if he were on that bus and that lady was being raped, he would have intervened.
You stomp the hell out of that guy. Yeah. Sorry, but I mean, it's just the fact. You know, I mean, if anything, I mean, if you can do any better than that, I mean, I think lethal force has been within realms, but I don't want to push any issues. I mean, you know, but the thing is, you know, society is devolving. It's devolving to levels in which we never thought could possibly be imaginable, but here we are. You know, and I really wanted to mention China because that's
well. Before we go to China, we got to take a break.
Oh, okay.
I went 10 minutes over because we were kind of on a roll. But let's take a quick break here, folks.
Sounds
we
good.
Bring products to you guys because we are afraid you're going to need them, and I mean those words exactly as I said them. I am afraid you're going to need these products. I hope you don't need these products. But we don't do fluff advertising here. We do things that have a direct bearing on your survival and adaptation. So let's go through this with that in mind. Number one, storable food. I don't think I need to say any more. By the way, we should probably get into this with John. We come back as well after we talk about China. There's stuff appearing in the mainstream media now that says that food hoarding, anti-food hoarding laws are coming. And I want to detail that, and it's all in protecting children at the schools. You wouldn't believe how they're setting this up. And I'm not the only one who's catching this. Bob Griswold and I did an emergency broadcast on TV last night about this. Folks are coming for the food, and once they start this process, you're not going to be able to get anything. Seriously, you won't. In fact, I'm going to go as far as to say you're going to have to learn how to hide your food, hide your guns, bury it in the ground, cover it with rocks, know where it's at when you need it. This is coming. So MPS is one of the few food companies that's still standing. We think the government has bought out a lot of our competitors. That's just our theory. We don't know that for a fact, but we think that's possible because so many of them went out or reduced capacity greatly just in the last 2 weeks. Well, we're still going at MPS. Preparewithdave.com is what you need to do. You need to protect your family. You need to protect them now. And when hyperinflation hits, you won't be buying anything. So your window is really short. Secondly, you know we have sat phones that we sell. And people say, that's a luxury I don't need. And I'm telling you, it's a luxury you can't afford to be without. They're going to take down the internet. They're going to take down cell phones. They're going to encircle the cities. They're going to close us off. I've already read articles recently out of the Pentagon that says, in times of civil disobedience, we'll just encircle the city and cut it off. And that's classic continuity of government. And they will do that. And you won't have any way to communicate with your family unless you have shortwave or a sat phone. Which one is mobile? I like shortwave. It's valuable. But shortwave's kind of hard to take on the road, isn't it? If you had to bug out, could you take shortwave with you? This is why you want satellite phone. They can't take it down. We also have a Galileo messaging service now, too. It's a secondary price. It's really nominal, and you'll get instant warnings from Steve Quayle, myself, Mike Adams, Doug Hagman. We're all been enlisted on this to post warnings, and I do so regularly. I probably put a minimum of 2 up a day. The sat phone's great. The messaging service is great. And you can communicate with your family in an emergency. It's why you want to call 855-980-5830, 855-980-5830. And then one more thing. I'm planning on surviving what's coming. And I plan on surviving coming out the other side and not be a destitute and poor little serf living on the feudal manor. I'm protecting what I have in assets. I'm not a rich man, but I do have assets to protect. And I saw Noble Gold in action as I advertised for them for 2 years. And finally I said, I need to give them a try. What's the best thing I ever did? I'm going back for my fourth tweak. And as things change, you have to change. But if you're going with the old paradigm, keep your money in the bank, save it for a rainy day, get your 0.8% passbook savings interest, if you're doing that, you're going to be killed. You're not going to have anything left. You need to learn how to diversify and how to diversify, and Noble Gold will teach you how to do that. There's no pressure involved. They'll send you free material and never call you. They'll talk to you on the phone. You have to close the deal. And I'm just telling you, folks, they're the best people to deal with, but they're also the most accurate in terms of how they're going to help you get prepared. 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show sent you. John, let me just do this real quick before we go to China. Okay? Bob Griswold calls me yesterday, and a lady named Kim Chapman, or Chipman, and we think it might be a relative of David Chipman. And boy, I'll tell you, you start doing a background check on Chipman, you know, the failed ATF nominee. Boy, if he's not a Manchurian candidate from the Ford Foundation, he's doing one hell of a good imitation. We can't find much on his background. It's obscure. His dates of birth are different. We don't know if he was born in 1954, 1956. I mean, I could keep going on and on, mystery man. And this Kim Chipman, we don't know if they're related, but I kind of think they might be, because I tried to do some background on her, and it's obscure, very obscure. Usually reporters want all their info. Yeah, I was educated at Cal Berkeley School of Journalism. I served as an apprentice at the blah, blah, blah. And they want to impress you. This woman is devoid of information, and she writes a lot about food. And she said, the food supply chain problem is not a supply chain problem at all. The food supply chain problem is a problem of people buying too much. And then Bob Griswold called me right before I went on the air with Ted, and he said, Dave, there's a second article out, and they're saying it's affecting school lunches. They're not able to get the food they want because people are buying too much food. And I saw the same thing a week ago at a district called Alexander City Schools. Same thing. They're coming after the food. They're going to pass anti-hoarding laws, is my belief.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we already know very well, and you've written about it extensively, about the executive orders that are in place to do such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the supply chain thing, interestingly enough, I was looking at the ship tracking application thing for a bit last night, and a lot of these ships over there off the port of Long Beach are Chinese, if you didn't know. And I've been hearing the word come up. I don't know if it's valid or if it could, you know, be that true. But the word blockade has been coming up here a lot recently. Yeah, on some news broadcasts that I catch. I mean, not mainstream by no means. No, these are people that do their own work on YouTube, and I commend them. They're doing very good work. Yes, they're doing a very good job. I don't know if you want me to mention them, but, you know, it's just...
No, go ahead, mention them.
Yeah, okay, so Adam Marf, Marfugel News, excellent.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I've
seen some stuff, yeah, I agree with you, they're noteworthy, I agree, totally.
Absolutely, you know, it's amazing to see what's taking place, because...
Well, tell me about the article.
The article. Oh, well, they were just reading through and talking about this incident that took place over in the South China Sea with this nuclear submarine of the United States that struck something under the surface of the ocean. And I guess from what he was reporting last night, he was saying that a Chinese general has come out and said that they want the United States government and the military to tell its citizenry what that submarine hit. So I'm either thinking it was actually attacked by another, a Chinese sub, We could already be, you know, slinging blows at each other, and it's just kept, you know, on the extreme down low. Or it could have ran into an underwater sea mine as a possibility. So, you know, but it damaged that nuclear submarine. And interestingly enough, we have this deal that took place between the United States and Australia for nuclear submarines. I think that kind of put a thorn in the side of France, if I'm not mistaken, or something to that degree.
Yeah, France recalled their ambassador over it.
Right. And, you know, and even now we've got this incident with this missile that the Chinese have that can stay in orbit for 3 days.
I have a comment on that, John.
Go for it.
It's no surprise. No. They're using the fear to promote more defense spending among Congress and the people.
Absolutely. And
so we did in the Cold War. Did the same exact thing in the Cold War.
Right. And who's to say that that technology wasn't hand delivered to them with the blueprints from somebody from the State Department to the Chinese for this, you know, missile, I guess.
Well, we've given them all their other weapon systems. Why not this? But I understand that, well, first of all, just common sense. You're going to tell me they had a weapon like this, they had to have tested it. That wasn't the first test. It went too well. And we see everything from space. We know when the North Koreans move a nuclear missile 10 feet.
Right.
The intelligence knows exactly what China has.
Mm-hmm.
This is no surprise. Scare the hell out of the public. Scare the hell out of Congress. Give us more money. Just what exactly they did in the Cold War.
Absolutely. You know, and I even kind of posed this last night to my Australian friends and said, you know, I think of this, you know, we know that wars are generally played on both sides, right? So World War II, Ford Motor Company, you know, Henry Ford, he played both sides of the war. He, you know, provided for the United States, and he did. He provided for Germany as well. So I asked myself, you know, who's to say that, okay, we got this nuclear submarine deal going on with the Australians. Who's to say that we didn't sell this technology, like you said, or sell or just outright give it to the Chinese for this missile system? And I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is. So therefore, we're playing this two-sided thing over there in the Pacific Theater. I don't know. It just rings true to me just sitting here thinking about it. You know what I mean? I'm just sitting here thinking out loud. But it almost seems to be as obvious as if what that is what I just mentioned.
I think it's very logical. Do you know that what we used to do in the Cold War, we found that after the fall of the Soviet Union, we started the SALT inspections, remember, for that treaty, we found that the CIA had over-exaggerated the Soviet nuclear prowess by about 60%. So I'm sure this is the same thing with China.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's irrefutable to say we are in the biggest arms race since the Industrial Revolution. I mean, this is over the top, the weapons race that's going on right now between, you know, the world powers.
You know, well, I don't know what to even say. It's just so over the top. Spend more money. It's not going to make any difference if we don't have any personnel. I mean, the Navy SEALs are being dismantled right now. And did you see where they're trying to get them to pay for their own training if they won't take the vaccination?
Right. And there's a bunch of lawsuits, I guess, that have been filed against, oh, dear Leader Biden and some other folks of his cohorts of his circle. You know, what is it? Jen Psaki was hit with something. I can't remember what it is. Oh, I've got it saved somewhere. Some kind of an ethics rights violation or something to that degree or something along them lines. You know, but we see the system's corrupt. They're not going to do anything about it. I mean, by goodness, if Donald John Trump would have done not even an eighth, a 32nd, interesting number too, by the way, 32, a 32nd of what Joe Biden's done, you know, he'd have been impeached 10 times in a row, you know, but Teflon Biden there, you know, oh dear leader, won't be touched. It's just, I don't know.
It's everything that's on the left. I mean, nothing sticks with these people at all. But going back to, I think what you sent me was fascinating, chasing Pelosi down the street. F communist. I mean, it's amazing. You know, Let's Go Pelosi will be the replacement for Let's Go Brandon. By the way, the number one hip-hop song is Let's Go Brandon. Okay? It's a parody. And YouTube took it down.
Oh, wow. I didn't even heard it. I didn't even know that. But, that's... You know, and what is that, too? That almost kind of seems kind of like a psyop, a psychological operation to a degree. Just that slang, that term. I know it derives from the Talladega race where they're talking to the guy who won it, and his name was Brandon, and the reporter said, hey, you know, listen to him, y'all, Let's Go Brandon. And it was not that. It was, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but, I know.
you know, so I question a lot of things that are taking place. I mean, if anything, won't you just say it outright? I have no qualms with words, honestly. I mean, I can very well hold myself on air, but you know, when I'm off air, I'm a little bit open-lipped. I'm not politically correct, if you would. So, yeah, that they have messed up, Dave. They have messed to the point where the people are coming aware. And I think it's, you know, due to a lot of people losing family members. Well, they're saying now the numbers, the purported numbers, are the people that have taken the vaccination that have died, you know, double vaccination, took both of them, and have died from COVID-19.
Right.
Well, it's because of the vaccination. And these people that have died, I saw a city council meeting or a school board meeting, a video, and this guy was up there talking, and he said, if you've lost somebody to this, raise your hand. Almost three quarters of the auditorium raised their hand. He said, okay, that's not good enough. Everybody stand up that's lost somebody. It was almost the entire auditorium. You know, I mean, I lost a good friend due to this, and I warned him not to take it. He's an elderly guy, but he took it anyways, and now he's a pile of ashes. You know, so people are going to, you know, they're going to hit that breaking point where enough is enough. And these people won't be able to hide. I would imagine not even in their armored redoubts, wherever those may be.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. That's really their armored redoubts. Yeah. If I were to put a summary on this, if I were to title our interaction here today, I would say, make them afraid.
Yeah.
Do you think I'm being too radical when I say that?
No.
That these people need to fear... They need to fear that enough crazy people exist in society that they can't go outside safely now because of what they've done to the country?
No. When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty.
Yeah. That's a good saying. I like that. Who said that?
I don't know who quoted it, but it always rings true in my head for the current situations that I see my country going through.
It sounds like Thomas Jefferson.
I think so. For some reason, it does sound like Thomas Jefferson. I don't think Benjamin Franklin, but, you know, Franklin said, you know, if we don't all hang together, we most assuredly will hang separate.
And I love the Founding Fathers are not some anachronistic old men to be ignored. They're speaking directly from us from the grave today about what they wrote and what they did.
That's right.
They're amazing, amazing individuals. And they understood how tyranny happened, and it's happening. And this is what I can't seem to get across to people, John. If we don't stand up, we are going to get crushed. And people say, well, I'll just stay out of the way. I can survive and live under their regime. No, you won't be allowed to.
No. You know, and it makes me think of Constitution Hall, right? They signed the Constitution and... basically ratified everything, and they come outside, and the lady asked, you know, Benjamin Franklin, Mr. Franklin, what kind of government have you given us? We've given you a republic, madam, if you can keep it. We're at that point. Can we keep it?
Well, so far we've lost it.
Well, you know, I to this point, yes, you know, but I think upon that common ground that I was speaking of a lot lately about how, you know, the military... These mandates, they're kicking people out. These are going to be the people that are going to be the glue that holds the country together from within, because they've been trampled upon. You know, these men and women sign up to give their lives to protect the freedoms and the joys of which this country has preserved and has enjoyed for quite an amount of time. You know, they've poo-pooed upon these people, and now they're going to band together privately to defend our republic. That's the only way I see it. You know, I know violence begets violence, but at a point in time, you know, if they're coming to kill you, you have to defend yourself. You know, I just, I don't want to see the country fall, and I know it's well within its process of falling right now, even to the internal debacle we have with this massive invasion.
Exactly. Very quickly, tell people how to listen to your show. We got about 15 seconds.
Absolutely. I do a broadcast every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1, Folks for Indefense Condition 1. And you can catch that at revolution.radio or freedomslips.com, Studio
A. Awesome. John, thanks so much for joining us. Good conversation. Let's hope it motivates people to act. Make them afraid. See you back here next time, everybody. Thanks for joining us.